Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Welcome to Tuesday afternoon here in the Allstate Showcase studio right along Michigan Avenue. A little bit later in the program, we'll talk to Michael Collins. He's the CEO and founder of G and Compass. They're involved in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency and cryptocurrency lending. So we'll get a bit of a primer on that. Andy Smith will be here, too, from Financial Engines. You remember Andy. He hasn't been on in a while, but I love when he comes by to talk. We start on Tuesdays generally with John Najarian. You see him on CNBC, and he's on a phone line now. John, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Great to be with you today. Thank you, Steve.
So I'm looking to decide, you know, just how I'm going to start this conversation with you. The Dow was down quite a bit. It's recovered. Looks like it's losing some ground again. And then I see this headline from Andrew Sheets, chief cross-asset strategist at Morgan Stanley, apparently put out a note today saying that the earlier quote-unquote correction that we saw this year was really just an appetizer of something much bigger to come. I'm assuming you saw that note as well. What do you make of it?
Well, he did, Mr. Sheets did say that, and the appetizer I believe that he was speaking of wasn't as much about the market sell-off as about volatility coming back. But I might have misread it. So I'll give you, I'll go with react to it.
If one of the two of us is going to have misread something, it's going to be me, John. So you tell me what you think the note meant.
But I think he's right as far as volatility will be back in a bigger way than it was the last 5 years. I don't know whether he's going to be right as far as volatility being much higher than the spike that we already saw this year. In other words, taking us to 50 just after the Super Bowl, which is obviously that disastrous week in the market right after the Super Bowl, that we saw those 2,000 points shaved off the Dow very quickly. I think we're likely to see less of those kinds of moves unless there's some significant acceleration in the 10-year notes in particular, and I don't see that. I see a very small move and very measured hikes coming from the Fed. In fact, several folks don't see four hikes this year. They see only two. And more people are dropping to the lower numbers than the higher ones as far as predicting what the Fed might do. So we'll have to see. But I think overall, it's a question of that acceleration of those hikes rather than the market feeling toppy here.
What do you make of what's happening today? I mean, we're opening up a shortened trading week. The Dow was up, what, almost 4.5% last week, down today. The NASDAQ's still up again today after a positive week last week.
Yeah, and it's just really tough when you've got Walmart. They are the biggest brick-and-mortar retailer. For that matter, they're the biggest retailer, period. But they obviously had expanded dramatically in the online space because of the acquisition, believe it or not, of Jet.com. That has helped them immensely. But nonetheless, their online sales aren't enough to carry them if indeed they're going to offer weak guidance. And that's what they did today.
So
not terrible guidance, certainly. And it's within the realm that they could still come out right where Wall Street thinks they could be. But they lowered the guidance to $4.75 to $5 a share. The Street was looking at $4.91. So obviously dropping the lower end of that guidance means that people are sort of reading into that, that maybe it's a little softer in the next quarter or two for Walmart.
We've been talking about Home Depot for a while and about how the hurricanes, the devastation there, might actually end up being a boon for certain companies, Home Depot among them. I saw that they had a nice report this today, and I just wonder if that is part of it or where you see Home Depot going.
It's absolutely part of it. Home Depot is benefiting from a lot of the pain that came too many Americans' way and Puerto Rican territory as well this past year. I mean, the rebuilding that has to go on and continues perhaps for several years, those are things that are big benefits to a firm like Home Depot that basically, soup to nuts, provides everything you need to get that home back into shape. So I'm not surprised by that. I think Home Depot Supply is another great way to trade that. And I think that overcoming a big drop out of Walmart today, which Walmart today, folks, is down 9.2%, that's making an impact of some very large extent on the Dow. So without the Walmart drop, the Dow loss today of 135 points would be significantly smaller.
And what do energy stocks in the energy sector look like? I see that the U.S. Deputy Energy Secretary Dan, I think it's Brulette, was speaking at a petroleum conference overseas in London today, says that the U.S. will be an energy exporter, already natural gas, but overall an energy exporter within the next 10 years or maybe even sooner.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's one of the reasons that I'm very bullish on that sector overall. I think when we get up into the mid to high 60s, though, which we touched briefly this year or late last year, that's only because a lot of the Bakken areas aren't really as accessible during the wintertime months as they are the rest of the year. They're certainly pumping out of those cross-drilling and the fracking that goes on up there, but it's a lot tougher in the winter when it's a tough winter like we've had. I think a lot of that comes back online very quickly, and then crude prices moderate.
John, I'm running behind. I should have asked you before, but real quick, what are you looking at? What are you recommending today?
Well, overall, on a dip like this, I do like Walmart, and I'm one of the people that thinks this is overdone today. So down 9.5%, I'll take it. We bought some today.
All right, John Najarian, great to talk to you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.
It's 12:53. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WG, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 151 points so far on the day. Hey, look at the phone line. On the line here, Andy Smith, the Senior Vice President of Financial Planning at Financial Engines. Andy, my friend, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Steve, how you been?
Great. It's great to talk to you again. Well, I got a lot to talk about, right? I mean, we've had the volatility to start the year. The Dow down 150 points now. It was recovering a little bit earlier today, but we are living in volatile times, it seems like. What do you make of all this?
Well, I mean, you put these episodes in context, right? It's been about 5 months since the market had a 2% correction. It's been about 15 months since the market had a 3% correction. I mean, you got to go back like 19 or 20 months since the market had a 5% correction. So you look at the activity. I mean, 2017 was gangbusters. January was amazing. We saw a little bit of volatility here over the last couple of weeks, but you're supposed to get these types of drops, like 5% drops, 10% drops, even 15% drops anywhere between 1 and 5 times a year. It's just what's different about this is just the speed with which these market actions have occurred right
now. Well, I was going to ask you if we sort of had our drop, our correction, and we're done with it for a while, but if you say there could be as many as 5 a year, it sounds like there's no guarantee there's not another one around the corner.
You know, hard to tell. I mean, this is the 5th correction since 2009. This latest one was actually the smallest. So you got the S&P 500 dropping about 19% in 2011. The S&P was down 16% during the 2010 European debt crisis. So you look at all of these different corrections that have occurred, and that's really the word that the financial media was banding about just because of the amount of the drop. But of the 30 corrections that have happened going back to 1959, only 6 turned into full bear markets. So you look at what's happened. This is just normal market activity. Markets are supposed to go up and down. It's just we've seen, number one, with a bullet for so long, people have gotten complacent, and they think that this is what's supposed to happen all the time, and it's not.
I think that's a good point. And then so when it does happen, maybe people start to get a little overly concerned about it. So if they are, I mean, if it has been number one with a bullet so far or for so long now, if you're worried that you might start dropping down the charts, what should someone do? I mean, what do you advise people to do if they're concerned these days?
Yeah, the first thing I tell them is, look, stay focused, stay on track, remember what your goals are. You go back to your plan, don't do any of this panic buying or panic selling, because that's what's going to throw you off, you know, long term. You don't want to necessarily focus on the next 30 minutes. Your job is to focus on the next 30 years. So number one, stay focused. Number two, just check what you have. Check your allocation, right? How much you've got in stocks, bonds, and cash. Look at your investments. You know, some people, this is a time to invest more. They've got cash on the sidelines. They've been waiting to invest. A lot of small business owners are looking to deploy capital right now. So you have to really reframe any market drop. Just because stocks are down doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that they're on sale. And really, it's only in the market where people feel comfortable about buying at higher and higher prices. Look at the opportunities in front of you, but put everything in front of you in context.
So the idea that stocks have dropped, although we've recovered a lot, but when they do drop the next time, that you shouldn't panic. Maybe it's actually a sign that you should take advantage of the sale.
Maybe so. You always go back to your plan, and the plan is what you build during good times or quiet times so that you're reminded what you need to do when things aren't so calm.
You know, you said something, Andy, I'm interrupting you, but you said something earlier that prompted me to this question. You said people who sell or buy sort of in a panic mode or in a hyper mode on reactions to this are the people who don't have a plan, and that just speaks to the importance of having a plan.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the people that I'm talking to, I'm calling clients, talking to people all over the country, the people who were buying and selling when the market was dropping, they didn't have anything to go back to. They weren't focusing on the next 30 years. So this is when your advisor should be calling you. This is when, if you're doing things on your own, you need to be really digging in and doing your research. Problem is, a lot of guys just want to sell you product and make you think it's some magical thing that's going to get you all the way through to retirement. It's not. You have to go back to that plan and really focus on the next 30 years, not the next 30 minutes.
And when you're looking at what you have and reviewing what you have, you should be able to look at a fund or look at a holding and say, this is to get me there, right? Or this is why I have this. This is the function this fund serves in my plan.
Absolutely. And so what we see a lot at Financial Engines is people are just collectors of different investments. They're reading a magazine at the dentist's office, and they write down a couple of investments that they just got to buy later on. Don't collect investments. Know what you own, where you're going to put it, and when you're going to use it. And that's when that plan comes into play, because you have to know everything that's working in every different context: Social Security, healthcare, investing, you know, what you're going to do with debt. So hopefully your advisor is going over this with you. If he's not, you know, get out to financialengines.com, find somebody to talk to, because what you got to stop doing is focusing on the investment. You have to start focusing on your long-term plan.
Collect trophies, don't collect stocks, don't collect plans.
Absolutely.
Where do people find out more information than from you? I know we started reading, I read a commercial for you yesterday, but where do we find you?
Yeah, financialengines.com. Got some great team members up there in the Chicagoland area, but financialengines.com. Find time to talk with somebody. Get going on that plan today.
Andy Smith, great to talk to you. I hope we can do it again soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right. Andy Smith is the Senior Vice President of Financial Planning at Financial Engines.
WGN Radio and the Chicago White Sox naming 720 WGN as the team's flagship radio station.
Could be a good fit, yeah.
I've been a Sox fan ever since I was that big, so I'm looking forward to them getting back to where they were.
It's been a long time. In the old days, you carried both games back in the brick house days.
Can get us a couple pitchers. I'd like WGN even more.
Hello again, everybody. This is Harry Carey at Comiskey Park.
As everybody listens to WGN in the morning, get the traffic reports and the weather reports. Makes me happy.
The old new home of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN. Summer starts today.
Jeannie Ives might be Mike Madigan's favorite Republican. The Madigan machine has bankrolled Ives with thousands of dollars in shady labor union cash, turning Jeannie Ives into another Mike Madigan lackey. Listen to Ives defend Madigan.
Now we're going to call Mike Madigan a crook. Now we're going to call Mike Madigan a crook.
Instead of attacking Madigan's corrupt ways like Bruce Rauner, Jeannie Ives defends Madigan.
He's picking on Mike Madigan again. He's picking on Mike Madigan again.
Ives won't even commit to immediate repeal of the Madigan income tax hike.
You need legislator approval to repeal that, obviously. So you have to have them decide to do that, to repeal it, right? I can't guarantee what the legislator is going to send me in the bill.
Jeannie Ives, guaranteed to defend and defer to Mike Madigan.
I don't think that's any way to deal with the powerful Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan.
Paid for by Citizens for Rauner, Inc.
We're going to check the headlines in just a minute. After that, Galen Druk will be on the phone line. He's a producer and reporter for 538. They got a great package on gerrymandering in this country, so we'll talk to Galen about that. If you're like a lot of people, you might be a little unsure of what your retirement's going to look like. Are you on track? Well, here's a solution. Ask a pro like Financial Engines. They've got the expertise to help you build a professionalized plan that help gets you to and then through your retirement. Financial Engine starts with your goals and then tells you your chances of achieving those goals. And they always do it in concise, easy-to-understand language. You'll work with a dedicated advisor to personalize your comprehensive plan and then stay connected. You may have heard the term fiduciary. Well, that means Financial Engines follows high ethical standards and puts client interests first with objective advice. They'll address the full picture of your financial future, including budget planning, Social Security optimization, and retirement distribution. And then they monitor, adjust, and communicate to help you stay on track. Financial Engines will help manage fears and calm your concerns. For a free portfolio review and to find a local advisor, visit financialengines.com. Financialengines.com, their goals are aligned with yours. All right, let's check the headlines now. Here's Kim Gordon.
Kentucky Fried Chicken says about 470 of its 900 restaurants in the UK remain closed due to a chicken shortage. The company says the disruption started last week when it changed its delivery provider to DHL. The law firm where a lawyer charged by special counsel Robert Mueller used to work says it fired Alex van der Zwaan last year and has been cooperating with authorities. Van der Zwaan had been charged with lying to investigators about his interactions with Rick Gates, a former Trump campaign official. A 53-year-old Illinois man who fell to his death in Yellowstone National Park last year was looking for a supposed hidden cache of gold and jewels. Jeff Murphy of Batavia was looking for the treasure that antiquities dealer Forrest Fenn says he stashed somewhere in the Rocky Mountains several years ago. Your money, sports, traffic and weather next on WGN.
Good afternoon, Mr. Signifuse. First time seeing a therapist?
Yes, but I thought there'd be a couch.
Got rid of the couch. Clients were falling asleep.
Oh, I'm having a financial crisis. I don't like my bank.
Really? What's the problem?
It's too big, impersonal. I'm being ignored.
Sounds like you have financial anxiety retention trauma.
Is there an acronym for that?
I don't think so. But may I suggest you call First American Bank?
First American?
They're a $4 billion bank, the largest privately held bank in Illinois with 53 branches nationwide.
I'm looking for great personal service and low interest mortgage, home equity loan deal, free checking and...
Calm down. You get all that and more at First American.
So they're like a local community bank with lots of loan and deposit products and a friendly staff?
That's right. Banking with First American is easy peasy.
Easy peasy?
That's a therapy term I came up with. Catchy, huh?
Yes.
First American Bank. Free cash withdrawals from checking accounts at over 55,000 Allpoint and Presto ATMs. Visit firstambank.com. Call 847-952-3700. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper for its calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur. Doing payroll is no longer a headache for our customer, Jeff.
I've used various payroll providers in the past, and none can hold a candle to Patriot Software. Their software is ridiculously easy to use. The support staff is knowledgeable and courteous. I am very excited that Patriot Software files my tax forms for me, not just providing the forms like other payroll companies do. As a business owner, managing payroll has been a long-time headache that I no longer struggle with thanks to Patriot Software. I definitely rate your company 5 out of 5 stars.
Go to PatriotSoftware.com to get your payroll pricing for up to 100 employees. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
PatriotSoftware.com. Accounting and payroll. Keep your time and money.
Your money on WGN, Orion Samuelson.
The noon hour numbers in today's trade, the Dow is down 143 points, trading at 25,074. The S&P 500 down 3 points at 2728. And the NASDAQ composite trading higher, it's up 40 points at 72.80. VIX at the CBOE is up nearly two-thirds of a point, trading at 20.06. On to the grain trade at the Chicago Board of Trade today, the March wheat contract, trading at $4.51 a bushel, down 6.5 cents. March corn contract trading at $3.66¾, down a penny. But the March soybeans are trading higher, up 5.5 cents a bushel at $10.27. And finally, livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange. The June lean hog contract is up $1.50 a hundredweight, trading at $81.22. February live cattle contract up 20 cents, trading at $130.30 a hundredweight. And the April feeder cattle trading 12 cents higher at $152.52 a hundredweight. That's your money on 720 WGN.
WGN Sports. The Bears have released linebacker Jarrell Freeman after two seasons. The University of Louisville must vacate its 2013 men's basketball title following an NCAA appeals panel's decision to uphold sanctions against the men's program in the sex scandal case. College basketball games tonight. Illinois taking on Michigan State. Indiana plays Nebraska. Northern Illinois at Ball State. And the Blackhawks host Ottawa tomorrow. WGN traffic, Violetta Padromedic.
Traffic is sponsored by Credit Karma. The rain causing flooding. The worst areas are the west and south suburbs. North on I-57 near Harvey is affected. The left lane is blocked from US 6 to Illinois 83. Also, emergency lane closures on the inbound Eisenhower at Cicero has the left shoulder and left lane blocked. Inbound Eisenhower at Cicero. There's also a crash that's blocking the left lane near First Avenue. It's almost an hour now, Thorndale to the old post office. 39 minutes back out. The Eden's still clear either way between Lake Hook Road and the junction. Inbound Kennedy slowly building, 31 minutes from O'Hare to downtown, 20 minutes back out. No delays yet on the Stevenson or the Dan Ryan. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. And if you want traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Padromedic in WGN Traffic Central.
The WGN Chicago Weather Center forecast, a flash flood watch in effect until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Otherwise, today, showers continue, scattered thunderstorms possible. We could see locally heavy rainfall, breezy, unseasonably warm, a high of 60. Tonight, rain early, a chance of freezing rain late, breezy, colder, a low of 28. Tomorrow, freezing rain possible early, then turning partly to mostly cloudy with a high of 36. Right now, O'Hare 65, Midway 64, Mendota 64, along the lakefront 65. Get Chicago News first at the top of every hour. I'm Kim Gordon on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. All right, you know, in Pennsylvania yesterday, the state Supreme Court weighed in on their gerrymandering case. There's a big Supreme Court case in Wisconsin. I've long said that I think this is one of the biggest fixes we need in this country to change where we are politically. 538 did a great series on it that you can check out, a series of podcasts and articles as well. One of the authors behind that is Galen Druk, and he's on a phone line with us now. Galen, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Galen, I just want you to wave your wand and fix it.
Not possible. I mean, not only is it a difficult political question, also, if you were to take the politics out altogether and take away the complications of are lawmakers really going to kind of take power away from themselves, it's also just difficult from an academic point of view. You know, how are you going to prioritize all of the different values that you could prioritize in the redistricting process. It's complicated stuff.
So redistricting, just to start from a baseline, is, you know, every 10 years, the state legislatures, by and large, redraw their maps. They're supposed to do it by population to make these fair districts. But the party in power, and here in Illinois, it's the Democrats, draw the district lines to greatly influence the elections in the future to help them stay in power. So that's where we are in North Carolina. In Pennsylvania right now, I think, is probably the most immediate case, and we'll talk about Wisconsin too. But tell me what's going on in Pennsylvania and what impact that might have on this whole thing.
Right. So Pennsylvania is a bit unique when compared with North Carolina and, say, Wisconsin, because in Pennsylvania, we're talking about a violation of the state constitution, whereas in these other cases, we're talking about a potential violation of the U.S. Constitution. And so in Pennsylvania, the plaintiffs, Democrats, essentially said that the way that the maps were drawn by Republicans in Pennsylvania in 2011 violates the Pennsylvania Constitution that says essentially elections need to be free and equal. And the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania said the plaintiffs are right, that the way that the maps were drawn does not allow for essentially fair elections, and that they needed to be redrawn. They gave Republicans in the legislature the opportunity to redraw those maps. They proposed a map that still heavily favored Republicans. Then the Democratic governor basically said, well, you know, this map is still a gerrymander. We're not going to propose it as a fix to the court. And so essentially the state Supreme Court did not get proposed maps that it asked for, and so it went ahead and drew the maps itself.
And that was announced yesterday, and that's for a primary coming up in May. So you've got people running for the nomination to Congress in districts, really, that they don't even know for sure the boundaries, because certainly the Republicans will appeal this and it will go on. So that's in Pennsylvania. What's going on in Wisconsin? That is a federal case, a U.S. Supreme Court case that could have a wider reaching impact, correct?
Right. So the case in Pennsylvania is limited to the state of Pennsylvania. You know, other states could look at their experience and say, hey, do we have any laws on the books that are similar that could allow us to bring a similar case? But the case in Wisconsin, if the Democrats who brought the case in Wisconsin win, that could change the expectations and the laws behind how maps are drawn nationally. And that case was heard in the fall, and we're going to get a decision in the case by the end of June. And essentially what the Wisconsin Democrats said in that case is that when Republicans drew their state assembly maps in 2011, they violated the First and 14th Amendment, which is freedom to associate and equal protection, and that as a result, the maps need to be redrawn to give Democrats a fair shot to elect their candidates in Wisconsin.
And again, these two cases we're talking about are Republicans using the system to keep Democrats down. Here in Illinois, the Democrats draw the maps, and, you know, Galen, they're screwy. I mean, some of these congressional maps wind themselves around the state in order to protect Democratic majorities in the state legislature, but also in the Congress.
Right.
So that's the situation. Talk to me in general. Are the cases in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, and as I said, here in Illinois, are the maps like that? Is that the way it is in all 50 states, or are these aberrations, or how does this fit into the country as a whole?
So it's important to understand that gerrymandering is not really anything new. It's been going on for decades. In fact, what we consider the first gerrymander happened in the 1800s. So parties in power have been using that power to manipulate maps for a long time. It happens on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, this is not a new part of American politics. What is different is that in 2010, Republicans did so well in the midterms and won so many state legislative seats and governorships that they had much, much, much more power than Democrats in 2011 when it was time to redraw the maps, to draw those maps. And so, I mean, Republicans rightly say, Democrats, you did this too. If you had had the power in 2011, you would have done the exact same thing. Is it really fair to now change our conception of the law or change the law in general, just because we did so well in 2010 and now you're upset.
Right. We finally got the ball. Don't take it from us.
Yeah. And so Republicans will say that Democrats are being hypocritical and point to states like Illinois to say that, hey, when you have the power, you do the exact same thing. So, like, no party can really claim righteousness in this sure. debate. But, I mean, what we can say is that public awareness about gerrymandering and redistricting has shot through the roof in large part because of how successful Republicans were at redrawing maps in their favor in 2011.
So
there is increasing pressure. There are more court cases, more constituents talking about it, I think, than ever before. So if there were ever a time that the way that we draw maps would be likely to change, the political motivation is there, it would be right now.
And just, you know, to explain it a little bit further, so then if you have a congressional map, and let's say it's a Republican district that is a safe Republican district, there's an overwhelming majority of Republican voters there, when it comes time for the election, what you have is not a debate between left and right, if you will. You have a debate between right and righter. You have members of Congress being challenged on the right. It's the same in safe Democratic seats. You don't have a Republican challenging the Democrat. The fight is in the primary to see whether the party goes left or lefter. And what happens is we tend to get then a more extreme partisan representation in the Congress, right? I mean, that's fair. That's kind of where we are.
Yeah. I mean, that is also a really complicated issue. I get partisanship. What's the root of partisanship? Is it really gerrymandering? Well, we have some evidence that gerrymandering has contributed to it. But I mean, if you look at the Senate, obviously the Senate can't be gerrymandered, and right, we still right. have increased partisanship in the Senate. A lot of where the kind of safe red and safe blue districts come from are, you know, it's a combination of gerrymandering and self-sorting, but a lot of it is self-sorting, which is to say that Democrats and Republicans just don't live in similar parts of the country. I mean, you know, looking at Illinois, that Cook County and Chicago are deep blue, and then you have much of the rest of the state is pretty red.
Right.
Right. I mean, while Illinois can have competitive gubernatorial elections, you wouldn't really say that a lot of the actual districts in Illinois are competitive. And that's because Republicans and Democrats self-segregate.
I know that the series looked at this sort of from both sides and didn't advocate one solution or another, but here we are in February of 2018. Where do you think we'll be a year from now or 2 years from now? Do you see change coming?
You know, it's extremely hard to say how the Supreme Court is going to rule in the Wisconsin case. So the most immediate upheaval that we could see is if the Wisconsin Democrats win, and essentially the court says that there are situations in which partisan gerrymandering is illegal, and that opens the door for all kinds of lawsuits claiming that maps in all different states, red and blue, are illegal partisan gerrymanders.
Well,
but
yep.
If the Supreme Court rules in Wisconsin Democrats' favor, you couldn't necessarily say that, you know, the Supreme Court has ended partisan gerrymandering, because there will still be a long, drawn-out, hyper-partisan debate over where the line is for what's fair. We can say, okay, maybe what happened in Wisconsin is not fair, but then where do you draw the line? I mean, and is it going to end up being the case that courts just draw all of the maps? I know judicial conservatives would not be happy with that outcome.
Well, we should point out, too, that a lot of these maps were drawn in a screwy way to help improve minority representation in the Congress. I mean, that was a big part of it, too. A lot of people see that as a true positive. It's a great series, a series of podcasts as well, all at 538.com. One of the authors is Galen Druk. Galen, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having me. Take care.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Great. Thanks, Galen.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Minute, sharing the news and asking questions for small business owners. Everyone knows that Chicago is a place of hard competition, and the city is attracting some heavy hitters. One of the notable ones is Google, who recently moved into the West Loop. With already 800 Googlers in the city, they plan on adding even more this year. You know what they say, Competition breeds innovation, and that is amazingly true for Hoffman Estates-based Sears. The struggling department store has been in a downward spiral among its efforts to cut $1.25 billion in costs. But because of the new tax changes, the company will turn a profit of $240 million this quarter. Maybe this is the beginning of something beautiful. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson, Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much for tuning in. It was great to talk to Andy Smith again from Financial Engines. They are a client that comes by from time to time, and I just love talking to Andy because I think, like the commercial, he puts things in a very clear, concise way to help people out that way. This has been one of those shows that producer Bennett Wakenight ages a little bit because I ran long on a couple of segments, and now we're supposed to be talking to Michael Collins, the CEO of GN Compass. And just having a little connection problem with Michael. I don't know if you know about the company. Pretty cool, though. They are one of these companies that are going to make cryptocurrency loans, business-to-business loans, and it's a sort of a new groundbreaking. So we're going to talk to Michael just a little bit about that in just a moment or so as soon as we get him on the phone line. So thanks for that. And John Williams coming up in about 5 minutes or so to follow with his show. But right now, let's say hello to Michael Collins, who is on a phone line. Michael, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hey, how's it doing? How you doing? Glad to be here.
I'm glad to talk to you. You're going to have to talk slowly to me to make sure I understand all of this. But you guys do cryptocurrency loans, right? Business to business. It seems like that would be the Wild West. I mean, are you a sort of a leader in this industry, or how is it going for you?
Well, I wouldn't consider myself a leader. I'm more of just an entrepreneur. Trying a different method, or trying to create more liquidity in the lending market by using cryptocurrency and the blockchain to be able to do that. So,
but it would seem like it's so much more volatile to work with cryptocurrency than it would be with other currencies. How do you maintain some sort of balance or guarantee with these loans that the value is going to be there?
Okay. Well, volatility, the thing about volatility is, if you create enough liquidity in a currency and you also have the right backing of that currency, then you can kind of control volatility to a point. Every currency faces a little bit of it, but, it depending on, the right backing of the currency and the access for people to be able to buy and sell a currency that will, reduce the volatility of that currency.
So aside from taking a loan and doing B2B loans, if someone is out there, an investor, we watched Bitcoin go up, 1,400% last year. I mean, is that something you advise people to invest in if they're small-time sort of casual investors, or is it just a little too hot to get too close to?
Well, I always, a lot of my friends ask me, if they should invest in Bitcoin and all that. And I tell them, I say, you invest what you can afford to lose.
Right.
Don't remortgage your house. Don't put your life savings in it. Because Bitcoin particularly is very volatile because of the market cap. It has a very low market cap. The amount of Bitcoin that is in circulation is very small compared to the market cap. So Bitcoin is probably one of the most volatile ones out there. And, it doesn't have the proper backing, and it doesn't have the right, enough liquidity, easy to
get in and
buy,
out of.
But, exactly. It's easy to buy, but it's difficult to sell, especially when everybody's selling.
It's like a timeshare, Michael.
It is almost like a timeshare because, even if you have traditional shares or stocks, we call them shares up in Canada.
Right.
If you have traditional stocks, even if the price drops, there's always somebody that's going to buy the shares, if you want to pull out. But with a lot of crypto, it's not really the case. So that's the big factor. Right. The big problem why it's so volatile.
Michael Collins, the CEO and founder of GN Compass. Michael, we've got to run. Thank you very much for joining us today. I appreciate
sure.
it.